Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 119, part 1, Resentments. Today is Friday, October 30th, 2009.
There is hope in Jesus. There is life so real. You can feel love like you've never felt before. Like a child who trusts.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue, in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community, and at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join our online community. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or write a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, where you will find the show notes to the podcast. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. And in the show notes, you're going to find scripture links to those scriptures that Pastor Paul uses within his message. Be sure to join us every Friday and Sunday for part one and part two of Pastor Paul's weekly podcast. Have a great month of November, starting it off on All Saints Day, November 1st. These are the messages that you will hear this month on Pastor Paul's podcast. A love better than wine. Our instincts need purifying. Old things and new things. And old and new side by side. So there you have it. The month of November will prove to be the best yet. God bless you and have a great month.
Tonight's message is going to be on resentments. Are you hearing this? The Bible says we are not of this world. You're either going to love this message or you're going to hate it. It's according to where you're at in this message. You're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. John 17 and 19 says like this, and Jesus said, I sanctify myself for their sakes. Sometimes we have to do things for other people's sakes. For God's sake, for your wife's sake, for your friend's sake, for your sake, for the congregation's sake. Jesus said, I sanctify myself for their sakes. Moms and dads listening to this radio program, sanctify yourselves for your kids, and kids, sanctify yourselves for your parents. I have to ask, how's your witness? I also have to add, don't be half and half. Don't compromise the message. This isn't always easy, is it? But I believe if the pastor doesn't qualify in sanctification, making himself entirely separate and preach boldly, kingdom living. He's a cheater. How about our young people? Aren't they worth sanctifying ourselves for? I thought to myself, if only we would realize, if we would all start being what we can be one step at a time, what would happen to others? If we would be one step at a time, just start being what we can be one step at a time. The more I walk in the Lord, the more I find that I can only take one step at a time. Whew. But oh, how painful that first step is. I think it's probably the thought of taking that first step that is so painful. Just thinking about taking that first step is so painful. A step in the right direction is so painful. How many are hearing this message now? I know there are people listening on the radio right now that are going to make a first step. Though it's so hard for you. But every time we live right, we affect others. Every time we take that step in a right direction against the flesh, against the mind, you affect somebody. The more times you come up out of it and stand, having done all, stand, glory to God. And in the middle of all your frustrations and all of your whatevers, I'm talking about living, you take that step in the right direction and you counsel with the Lord, and the Lord says, take that step, watch yourself. Has the Lord told you lately to watch it? You see, every time we have a death within ourselves, it causes life in others. And then, I believe when we're resurrected because of that very death, and there's deaths daily, I die daily, people cannot believe the transformation within you. And they come up and they say, I don't believe it, I want to put my finger in the hole in your side here to see if you're real. I die daily. But I know there is always a spiritual resurrection. A coming forth in a new power and a new anointing. But it's facing the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the only way you'll be free is to go down into the ground and die and raise up, hallelujah, 30, 60, 90 times more powerful than you ever thought you ever would be. Because you've learned to die to that thing and go on. But then also when you get off, you affect others. Sanctify then yourselves for others. That makes it a little bit easier, doesn't it? That's what Christ's life is, living a life for others, dying for others, living for others. Be peacemakers. Tell people they can go sometimes. That'll bring you a lot of peace. Did you ever notice after a big mouth leaves, how nice and quiet it is? I think Satan is the Joey Brown of hell. When he leaves you, it's so nice and quiet. Did you ever get someplace where it's so quiet you feel funny? I'm not a very quiet person inwardly. I'm a noisy person inwardly. There's always a conversation going on all of the time. There's a battle raging all the time. You know what? When I am victorious within, and when Satan is shut up, and his mouth is closed, oh, what peace it is. Oh, what an inward peace it is when Satan's mouth is shut. But all comes by taking that first step, that sanctification step, that step you don't want to take, and it's so hard because it's hard just thinking about it, but taking it is almost unbearable. And you're going to go through first steps and new beginnings all of your whole Christian walk. Yes, you will. Say amen, somebody. Yes, you will. All of us will. And so we're overcoming the world of resentments. But I think a man who is a man of faith is usually a man of a very sensitive, but also a very eager disposition. Sensitive to the needs of other people. Eager in his desire to, serve the Lord and take those first steps. I believe this man sees beyond his circumstance. So many times you like to take people out of their circumstance and help them out. God says, no, 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 you allow that person to work out of that circumstance. Because when they're working out of that circumstance, that is their very deliverance. They're working out of it now. They're working it out. He's working it in. They're working it out. But you see, when he sees beyond his circumstances, here is where he has to make a choice. When he can see beyond this little circumstance, and there'll always be another circumstance, won't there? Everything is passing. There'll always be a new beginning. There'll always be something there. But that's where he makes his choice. His choosing beyond the circumstance. God gives him a peek at a picture beyond. But he says, in order to get there, I got to do this, and I can't do this, and I got to do this, and I can't do this, and so on like that, to get over there. That is when, my friend, you start to count the cost. Do I want to pay the price to wear the crown? That's where we stop, right there, and we count the cost. How many times have I seen people count and change? You know, they're standing, it's almost like they're counting out change. They're counting the cost. Would you like to do this or that? And they start counting. This is that, and I got this, and so on like that. And they start to count the cost. Isn't that right? I think it's good that you count the cost, because there's always a cost involved. In the sanctification, there's always a cost involved to go on and a new step, a new beginning every day. Know how exciting it is. But immediately after making this first step and making a choice beyond the circumstance, he has no way got there yet, but he's made a choice, and all he has to suffer in it. I choose Jesus. I choose to walk after the Spirit. Right in the middle of this hellish circumstance, he looks beyond, or she looks beyond, You see, that's what I'm going to go for. But to get to the beyond, that's where faith comes in. To move towards the beyond when you're in something that's beyond. Behind that. Are you hearing this? But it seems like immediately after making that, you run up against opposition after opposition after opposition. Because people usually won't give up the is for the ought to be. Well, I ought to be this and I ought to be that. But they never make a move towards the ought to be's. Know how we need to move towards that. You know what happens then? He is tempted to be resentful against people who do not see what he sees. And it starts to build up resentments on the inside. Because people don't see exactly what he sees beyond the circumstance, beyond that present thing. He then can get most resentful. But I think a man of faith must have victory over the world of resentment. The victory, and I'm going to say it tonight, is in the inner man. Nowhere else will you find victory. Nowhere. No one can fight your battles. No one can pray you out of it. They can help. Ephesians 3 and 14 through 16 says like this, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the what? In the inner man." God is doing a work on the inner man and it's way down deep inside. Glory to God. Way down inside the inner man, and you hear that inner voice. Whew. Lord, we're concerned about the assaults against us. And all over people are being assaulted. Lord, put up a wall around us so the enemy can't get at us. Oh, Lord, the enemy is so mean. Give us immunity, Lord. Do you ever feel like you want to be immune from all pain? Oh, God, I hurt so. Oh, Lord, I want to be immune from all this pain. That's why in the world they take drugs. They're looking for an immunity. Something that will take them out of their thinking. They won't have to cope with things anymore. And it's the same way when a man is born again, and he comes up against all these different things, these assaults. Give me immunity, Lord. From the pain, oh Lord. From the heartache, oh God. But I think we better well understand what immunity is. I mean, a doctor doesn't give a patient immunity by dipping a brush into a serum and then brushing it on your arm. No, you got to have the needle, and that healing has got to come from the inward man on the inside. That's how we are healed, on the inner person. Has God been dealing with anybody in here on the inner person? You've heard it from brothers and sisters and people all the time, and you hear it through the Word, but now it's an inward thing, and it is a death. And you go through this death. Well, see, you probably could have died years ago, but you're a slow dier. You're like them old cowboys. They shoot them, and they stumble around for 14 or 15 minutes, and they lay down, they raise up again, their head hits the spittoon, and they roll over, and it's, when's this guy ever going to die? Now, at the end of the show, after a whole hour, he comes out of the door, and he's still stumbling down the street. He hasn't died yet. There is a death that's going on. There is a death that's going on right now, and it is a spirit of a dying, and glory to God for it too. People are dying all over the place in the flesh, and God is showing them themselves, and glory to God, something's going to happen, and there's going to come a resurrection. Yes, there will. There is a death, mark it down. You take a look at the church right now and the body of Christ right now. They are into everything but preaching the gospel. They're into politics and everything else. And it has caused a death. Now, how can you evaluate somebody that's dead? They're dead. The end of the evaluation. And I think there's a dying going on right now. People are dying all over the place. You'll see people coming into church that you thought would never come into church. Ooh. Tell you right now is the time to get out there. It's the time to pray to God. When you pray for revival, you know why you pray for revival in the church? Because there's a deadness in the church. Revive us, O Lord. Give us mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Give us the zappers to our heart. Huh? And you know what happens? We begin to resent that. See, we're in this world, but we're not of it. When you say, Lord, it's getting rough, I'm hit. Break this oppression. God, I don't know what's wrong, Lord. I feel so oppressed. You know, I'm more concerned then that the Lord began to dwell within you, that you first possess the riches within you. Way down deep inside, there's a well of water. But there's a dying, and there's a time of a sort of pining away. Ooh, how many hearing this message? No, that's got to happen. It's going to happen. It is happening. Ephesians 3, verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, listen now, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now, before that happens, friends, you've got to be emptied out. Before you can be filled with all the fullness of God, there is a death that happens. And to be filled with the fullness of God, oh, hey, it's worth dying for. What are you going to give up anyway? Maybe God is dealing with you right now to give up something. Glory to God, let it go. And I'll tell you what will happen. You'll start to get filled up with the fullness of God. And you'll have that joy unspeakable and full of plenty. And it's coming. Mark it down. There's going to be a spirit of joy hit. Are you ready for it? Sometimes when you get the spirit of joy, you know, and someone doesn't have the spirit of joy, you irritate them. Well, what are you laughing at? What's so funny? Why are you so joyful? You make me sick. I'm going to rob you. Of your joy. And you know what? I hope I got a head start on getting that joy. And I don't know how to explain it because the Bible says it's unspeakable. Means you won't even know what happened to you. You'll try to explain it and you'll get lost in explanation. You won't even know yourself. It'll come through obeying the Lord. In a very hard time in your life, it's called going through. It's called persevering. It's called trusting in the Lord. It's called obedience. But oh, hallelujah, what a work it does. God working way down in, and stop looking for miracles. Everybody is looking all over for miracles. Oh, no, here he goes again. Doesn't want to talk about... Hey, I'm talking about you are a walking, talking miracle. The miracles are down inside of you. They are nowhere else. And you know what bottles up the miracles? Resentments. They are log-jammed all over, and you just can't have a miracle when you're resentful. Did you know that? Are you looking for a miracle? They're right down inside, down in there. Ooh. How many here? Use them. Use the miracles that God has put within you. A person asked me the other day, why am I going through all these trials? I said, well, you're dying. You're in a travail. And the power is working within you. Are you hearing this? Claim your inheritance tonight. Claim it. Start to claim ground. Claim those things. Are you hearing it? How many are hearing this? Learn to appropriate, I'm saying, what God has given us in His will. Maybe there's something in your old nature you don't want to get rid of. Ah, you can blame it on everybody else. My God, it won't do you no good. Something in your old nature that you don't want to give up. And so this happens and that happens and all these things happen to us because we don't want to give up that one thing in our life. We don't want to give it up to the will of God. And so we get resentful. And time after time after time, God deals with us to give that thing up and we start to get resentful over even God asking us to give it up. Oh, what a log jam that can cause. When we can't even, and when God's spotlight is upon us, and we can blame everybody else for all of our problems. Self-inflicted. We can't go on and we just stay there. How many are hearing this? But if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. We're not passive. I don't have it, but I'll wait. Maybe I'll get it. But perseverance says, I believe it. I really believe it. I'm going to have it. Now, God, I want some more deliverance in my life. How about you? Are you perfectly delivered? No, you're listening on the radio. I am pursuing after it. It's almost like I'm yelling, hey, hold it! Hey, come on back here! You're mine! You ain't going to get away. And that's what the body of Christ has got to go after. They have to go after deliverance. And not deliverance for someone else. They have to go for a deliverance for themselves. And I think there's a whole lot of people also writing, I want letters like God was Santa Claus. Dear Lord, I want this. Dear Santa Claus, same thing. No, you know what? You have what you need on the inner man. What you really need is on the inner man. I was standing over here in St. Paul the other day. And I was standing in this great, huge complex of a building. And I'm looking around and I'm with all these people, the Caldwell bankers and the city of St. Paul, the health department and the fire department and a few other people over there. And I thought, what am I doing in here? And I'm trying to act like I know everything about everything. I know nothing about nothing, and I'll admit it. Bible tells us to do that. Think you know something, know nothing at all, because you know why? The Lord is going to be moving in that thing. You don't have to know a whole lot. You just have to obey the Lord. But anyway, I felt kind of, I'm standing over there shaking my head, yes, 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 and you know, I'm listening. Ever listen to yourself talk? And you can hear yourself talk because you want to make sure everything comes out right, and you get done, you have to check it out. Now, what did I just say? And then when everybody kind of goes like, you know, it didn't come out right. Well, that didn't happen to me, so ha-ha. How many hearing this? I'll fix this microphone here. How many hearing this message tonight? But I'm standing over there and I'm going through deliverances while I'm talking to all these people about getting into a great big heavy deal. Do you think that going through deliverances means you stop? Mean you just lay down? What if I would have laid down in front of all those guys? They say, Pastor Paul, what's wrong with you? I say, I'm being delivered. You know what they'd say? Well, let us get you a pine box, boy. We don't need a dead horse for this thing. That's the way people are, though. They get caught up in their own little thing. God, I can't go on and be delivered. Give me a couple of weeks. I want a melancholy out. And they want to lay down and go through a deliverance. And you never get delivered by laying down. Never. Never lay down on the job. That is the time to get up and get going. Even when you hear yourself talk. Even when you're so full of this deliverance and the thoughts of you know, the Lord coming on you. Dealing with you in your own person about change. You don't lay down and say, God, I'm going through a heavy time, guys. I don't care about the fire marshal. I don't care about the health inspector and Caldwell bankers and all you guys. Get out of here. Can't you see I'm going through a type of hell? Go on, get out. And people do that. They all together quit. Because they're going through some kind of a thing. Or they'll go off into a worldly situation to overcome the melancholy or to overcome their feelings. How many are hearing this? And so I'm going through this deliverance. I'm down there and I was last Saturday and I'm Lord is dealing for things to happen. And I started picking at this little piece of carpet down there, and before you know it, I had pulled up about 4 feet of it. And I thought to myself, uh-oh, now you did it. Then I pulled some more, and it was about 6 feet up. Then I pulled some more, and I just about pulled my guts out because I couldn't pull it. The glue was so heavy. So the men's group got in there, and they started pulling on it. And then Sunday after church, they all, and I was going through these deliverances and we were still moving on and tearing up all this carpet and everything. And through the blood and sweat and tears, it still got done. And you know what happened in the process? I got delivered. And I don't know when it happened. whether it was in 20 feet of pulling up carpet or scraping glue off or running after materials or running over to St. Paul or going to the bank or meeting with this person or that person, and I don't know. Half of the day was a loss. You ever fog out for a whole day? Huh? Have you ever fogged out for a whole day? I mean, you got things done, but you felt like you didn't get nothing done? See, today was just a loss. I didn't get nothing done. But you sit down, and you start to add those things up, and you got quite a bit done. But you didn't feel like nothing was done because you weren't happy, and you were down, and this person was on your case, and that person, and bills and everything, and huh? But you made it through the day, didn't you? Who do you suppose was with you helping you make it through that day, driving that truck or whatever, and you're driving along and maybe even go through a stop sign? You're just not with it. Huh? Did you ever go through a whole day and you're not with it? You're going through a deliverance. You're sort of sick, you know what I mean? But you're being delivered out of sickness. Now, when you're in the hospital and you're physically sick, do you get up and dance in the bed? Huh? Charleston. No! You lay there. But see, we're in a faith walk, so we're sort of like walking death. You die daily and you die on your feet. Stay on your feet. Don't lay down. Bible says, don't lay down the plow and don't turn back. Now I know everybody goes through these things. It's sort of like, what a wasted day. That wasn't wasted. There was a deliverance and a healing going on. When it doesn't look like nothing's happening, that's when everything is busting loose. Oh, yes, 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 yes. When it doesn't look like anything is happening, everything is busting loose and God is causing a stirring in the house. How many people are being stirred up right now? Oh, I think there's a whole lot of things that ought to be. Guy says, you know what I feel like doing? He called up. I just feel like sitting down in an easy chair all day long. I says, the only thing wrong with the easy chair is it's easy to get into and hard to get out of. Oh, I think we ought to go for the ought to be's. Ought to be. But I think that a man of faith must have... Are you hearing this, kids? Do you have little resentments to you? Are you having little resentments? Are you mad at somebody at school? Once in a while, do you get upset with kids at school? What happens? You resent them? I don't like her. I don't like him. He did something to me. Huh? You know what? It ruins your whole day. You can't even hear the teacher. Can't hear. And she says, now what did I say? And you say, oh, who, me? Did it ever happen to you? You didn't hear the teacher, did you? You were busy thinking about old cornball over here. About what you'd like to do to him. Right? Yeah. Well, who's the loser? You are. You ought to start praying. You know what will happen when you start praying? You start to get into a deliverance. Say, God, help me. I'm resentful. And then you go through a death. Every time you pray for the Lord to deliver you, you go through a death. And you know what happens? After about a week of praying like that, you look over at that person It isn't that they have changed. They're probably meaner than they were before, but you've changed. And I think children ought to go through deliverances too, and they ought to know what it is. See, without forgiveness, there's no deliverance. And there's so many people are so resentful, and the reason is because they can't be delivered is because they haven't got the forgiveness. Are you hearing this? How many are hearing it? See, a faith without a forgiveness makes a religion hard and fanatical. But faith in God and forgiveness, and the forgiveness of people. Now that's faith, and that's God, because that's what God wants. Are you hearing this, kids? I tell you right now, in this age that we're in right now, and just looking around at the house of God right now and the shape it's in right now, I think we're going to come into a time where we're going to become Christ-like, where we're going to be deserted, spit upon, ridiculed, forsaken, and you're going to have to learn like Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I think we too can enter into that victory and make it our very own. And so that resentments have no place in us. So many people call and they have irrelevancies. I mean, what they're saying is irrelevant. It's like this man that was in the airplane. The plane went down and it crashed and everybody was killed. And all he could say was over and over, oh, look at my suit and my shoes and my coat. How irrelevant. How irrelevant we are when we see a suffering world and we got caught up in our own little selfish thing. And how irrelevant it is for us to just sit and get caught up in that cycle of self instead of reaching out. Instead of reaching out to touch someone else. Oh, I think that a lot of things we do right now are irrelevant, beside the point. I think one of the most important things in being a Christian is to have a wastebasket. Not for only the bad, but for the irrelevant. I mean, what's it got to do with serving Jesus Christ? What's it got to do with glorifying God? What's it got to do with anything anyway? It's irrelevant. I think we ought to stay on King's highways instead of hitting all the irrelevant lanes. I think they're very, very unimportant. And I think we have to start to learn to overcome this world of anxieties. In nothing, be anxious. My sister used to write this to me all the time. Kids, look up here and listen now. Learn how to listen. You just bother each other to death sitting there. You know what I mean? In nothing, be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. In nothing be anxious. And boy, what a message that is for today. Three things I see right now here on the north side, well, actually all over, that people are anxious about. Is their food and their shelter and their future security. There is an anxiousness all over, and I think we have a job right here to bring the peace of Jesus Christ in here, and that's why we're renovating downstairs, is to bring a peace and to bring a hope. Do you know that brings hope? Now, when we get done down there, your eyeballs is going to pop out. Going to be all mirrors on one wall. There's going to be hanging plants all over the place, my heart's desire. There's going to be brass railings, and there's going to be all kinds of things that the Lord brought in. The Lord gave us. And you know what it's going to do? It's going to bring hope.
So if you're tired,